We hope you had a great weekend, and we're grateful you're starting a new week with our show. I'm Carl Azus. This is CNN Student News. First up, to the European country of Belgium. After a moment of silence at the Brussels airport yesterday, a jet took off and headed for Portugal. That was significant because it was the first passenger flight to leave the airport since terrorists targeted it and a subway station in Brussels 12 days beforehand. The ISIS terrorist group said it was responsible for the attacks that killed 32 people. Hundreds of others were wounded. And though yesterday's flight was a symbolic step toward normalcy, there are still restrictions on how people can get to the airport. Only cars are allowed at this point. No trains, no buses. And the Belgian capital is still on edge. For example, two rallies had been planned for the weekend. One was an anti-Islam rally in a neighborhood where several suspected terrorists lived. Another was an anti-racism rally in the same area. Neither of the demonstrations went as organizers had intended.
Police were out in full force across the city of Brussels. Officials tell us they made some 140 arrests of people who were refusing to follow orders not to demonstrate and not to protest this weekend. That order was given by city officials earlier in the week after a right-wing anti-immigrant group announced plans to stage a demonstration in Molenbeek, a community that is heavily immigrant. That demonstration was ultimately canceled. However, a crowd had gathered in Molenbeek, perhaps to counter that planned march. Instead, that group started its own march toward the center of Brussels. They were pushed back by police officers, heavily armed, in riot gear, and even using crowd control vehicles. Those weren't the only arrests of the day, however. We also saw arrests made in the Place de la Bourse. That's the square in the middle of Brussels where people have been gathering since the bombings at the metro and the airport to memorialize and commemorate the victims, often leaving flowers and well wishes. But a big crowd did gather there today. That's what prompted police to come in. They asked members of the crowd to disperse. Those who didn't were taken into custody. We're told that all the people who were arrested connected to these demonstrations and marches face administrative charges for failing to follow the orders not to demonstrate. That means they'll get a couple hours of detention and also potentially a fine. In Brussels, Alexandra Field, CNN.
Up next today, five candidates, one goal. Each hopes to become the next president of the United States. On Election Day, November 8th, only one candidate from each major party can appear on the ballot. So U.S. states are having individual contests now, primaries and caucuses, to decide which one Republican and which one Democrat will run head-to-head. An update for the Democrats. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is the front-runner. She's won 1,259 pledged delegates. She has 483 superdelegates. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has won 1,020 pledged delegates. He has 31 superdelegates. To win the Democratic Party's nomination, 2,383 delegates are needed. An update for the Republicans. Businessman Donald Trump is the front-runner. He's won 739 delegates. Texas Senator Ted Cruz has 466 delegates. Ohio Governor John Kasich has 145. To win the Republican Party's nomination, 1,237 delegates are needed. The next state contest is tomorrow.
All eyes on Wisconsin, famous for its bratwurst and cheeseheads. Democratic and Republican candidates are descending on the Badger State ahead of its April 5th primary.
Wisconsin is a battleground.
With 42 delegates up for grabs, the stakes are especially high for Republicans. Ted Cruz has picked up the endorsement of Wisconsin's Governor Scott Walker, himself an early casualty of the Republican race, while former Wisconsin Governor Tony Thompson is backing John Kasich.
Wisconsin is a very independent state.
They're hoping to stop frontrunner Donald Trump's momentum before the race heads to Trump's home state, the New York primary, on April 19th. On the Democratic side, the 86 pledged delegates at stake are crucial to Bernie Sanders' hopes of making up ground on Hillary Clinton's big delegate lead.
We think we do have a path toward victory.
Wisconsin could also prove key in November's general election. While it's home to the Republican leader in Congress, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, President Obama won the state in both 2012 and 2008.
Wisconsin is one of those states that you really don't know how the people are going to vote.
And state officials are expecting huge voter turnout, saying they could see the state's biggest number of voters for a primary in 36 years.
What country's capital is Bishkek? The answer to that is our first stop today. We're starting in Kyrgyzstan. First time we've visited that nation on the roll call. Hello to everyone watching at Manas University in Bishkek. Next, we're flying you to Largo, Florida, on the state's Gulf Coast. Watch out for the tigers of Largo Middle School. And in eastern Missouri, we arrive in the city of DeSoto. At DeSoto High School, it's great to see the dragons. A University of Cambridge psychologist has come up with a couple major categories that people seem to fit into, and they're based on the kinds of music they listen to. He gave thousands of people a written quiz and then asked about their tastes in music. What he found is only a theory, but it's interesting insight into how your music may reflect how you're thinking at a specific time.
Oh, that's beautiful. Like very much. So what in the world would musical taste have to do with personality?
People who are high on empathy may be preferring a certain type of music compared to people who are more systematic.
So the theory is that the world is divided up between empathizers and systemizers.
If you're looking at a mountain, a systemizer may say, wow, isn't it incredible that over hundreds and thousands of years this was moving and forming?
What would an empathizer think about when looking at a mountain?
They might focus more on the awe of it. They may say, man, I am really feeling emotional. This is incredible. Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, won't you stay with me? 'Cause you're all I need. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. That's beautiful.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
What about it?
It's just very soothing.
Your empathy scores were very high. You would be classified as type E, an empathizer. You have a greater drive to understand other people's thoughts and feelings and to predict how someone may react in certain social situations.
So systemizers, how do they look at the world?
They're focused much more on systems and interpreting the world in terms of patterns that they can interconnect. But then there's also people who are type B. It's called balance. You have relatively equal empathy and systemizing scores.
Find a windowsill, you'll often find a cat. This one's no different. Well, except that it's a dashboard, and the world outside is going by at 70 miles per hour. But that makes no difference to Rory the cat, who seems perfectly content to relax while her mom does the driving. She's an 11-year-old tabby, the cat. Her owner rescued her last year, and she looks like she has a bright future ahead, full of catnaps in the car. Now that publicity has catapulted her to fame, maybe she'll one day lounge on a Ferrari or a Pergani. There's always the speed of a Maserati, a Bugatti, or a feline Burghini. There's the luxury of a Cadillac. And then there's my favorite, the Alfa Romeo. I'm Carl Azusa, and we've got to dash board. We hope you'll steer our way tomorrow.